The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Centennial Money Magazine, AARP Bulletin, Kiplinger Magazine, and The Retirement Guide. From the Centennial Money Magazine, building a budget, creating a plan for your spending, and knowing how to stick to it is the first step to transforming your finances. On your journey to building wealth, budgeting is the first and arguably most important step. If you don't know how much money you're spending and what you're spending it on, it's going to be nearly impossible for you to establish a coherent saving strategy. Some people are naturals when it comes to budgeting. Most of us are not. But it doesn't have to be that way. After some initial effort and a few weeks of habit formation, you can be budgeting with the best of them and saving yourself thousands of dollars in the process. Determine your monthly income. Everyone can tell you their hourly wage or annual salary, but very few people can tell you their monthly income after taxes, a number that it means far more when it comes to budgeting your money. If you're paid a steady rate, review your bank account, the history on your bank account, and calculate exactly how much you receive in a month. If you freelance, work for tips, or have another arrangement that brings in inconsistent income, you'll want to take an average from across several months. For budgeting purposes, you'll want to use a number lower than the average to account for periods of time when you're bringing in less. Calculate your expenses. The big ones should be easy. Your rent or mortgage payment, your car payment and insurance payment should be consistent month to month. Smaller regular payments, such as phone and internet bills, should be easy to track as well. Calculating spending in more fluid categories is a little trickier. For one thing, it takes a fair amount of time adding up every single grocery bill from the last half year and dividing by six. It can also be unpleasant to come face to face with some of your less prudent spending habits. Seeing that you spent $315 buying clothes online in October might make you want to give up. But it's exactly why you're budgeting in the first place. You'll feel better about future purchases knowing for sure that you can afford them and not just hoping that you can. Pick a budget framework. Most budgeting programs suggest that you should divide spending into three larger categories. Needs. These include things that you absolutely must have in your day-to-day life, including housing, transportation, and food. Depending on your individual circumstances, you may have additional needs to consider. Parents, for example, may have childcare in their needs category. Wants. These are items and experiences that add texture and happiness to your life, but you can go without them for a stretch if necessary. Going to concerts and sporting events, dining out, traveling, paying for streaming services, all of these are examples of wants. It's important to note that you shouldn't think of these costs as frivolous. A cold turkey budget that attempts to cut out small joys entirely is not a budget that will be followed for very long. Debt and savings. While wants and needs focus on the present, allocating money to debt and savings is about choices you've made in the past and choices you hope to make in the future. High interest loans and emergency savings funds should be at the top of any budgeter's list, and lower priority items should get consideration as well. For most common budgeting frameworks, suggest a 50-30-20 split between needs, wants, and debt savings, respectively. It's a great starting point, but you can modify it as necessary. If you're spending some time living at home with your parents post-graduation and not paying rent, you can lop some cash out of the needs category and accelerate your student loan repayments. Conversely, if you live in a city with high rent prices, you may have to invest extra in needs. Ideally, you're not spending that much more than 30% on wants, but you shouldn't go too far under either. Money spent on your happiness is a valid investment unto self. Track your spending. Using one of the many available tools for monitoring what you spend, take a look at how you did in your first month of budgeting. First, evaluate whether you met your goals. If not, consider where things went wrong and whether it's your budget or your behavior that needs an adjustment. Even if you met your goals, how did it feel? Remember, your budget should work for you, not the other way around. The article also lists some tech and app tools that can help you with money tracking activities. Mint is one of those. YNAB is an acronym for You Need a Budget. There is also Pocket Guard and Honeydew. Continuing on the budget theme, also from Centennial Money Magazine, is an article entitled Splurge or Skip. It's not always clear what is and isn't worth the money. These guidelines will help you decide when to dig deep into your pockets and when to put your wallet away altogether. Under the splurge category, high-quality basics, whether it be clothes, kitchen appliances, or entertainment, many purchases are best thought of in terms of cost per use. For example, a $25 pair of fast fashion jeans that deteriorates after 25 wears would have a cost per use of $1. Meanwhile, a $100 pair of high-quality jeans may require a greater upfront investment, but may last you 500 wears for a cost per use that's one-fifth as expensive. Under the skip category, items on sale. If you're waiting until January for the cookware you've extensively researched to go on sale before buying, hey, that's smart shopping. But if you're the type of person who scours the sales on Amazon just to find something, anything, at a 50% markdown, no. If it's not something you were going to buy at full price, you're not saving any money by buying it at a discount. Under the splurge category, vacation. There's an old adage that money is better spent on experiences than it is on things, and few experiences are worth saving up for, like a good vacation. Having something to look forward to, and then actually taking the time to unwind before returning to the real world, helps take the stress out of everyday life. Under the skip category, timeshares. Going on vacation is so nice that you may want to commit to doing it more often. Just don't make the commitment in writing to a resort group. Timeshares have long been known as suboptimal investments, thanks in large part to contracts with terms that are flexible for the property, but not for the guest. Under splurge, an occasional treat. Effective budgeting involves being aware of any money that you spend. If you're too aware of your expenditures, however, to the point where the thought of making any gives you anxiety, you're likely to burn out and quit being frugal altogether. A weekly latte or monthly spa visit can help you stay sane. Under the skip category, daily indulgence. While saving money can be addictive, spending money can also objectively be more so. Be careful to not let infrequent treats turn into the norm, or you won't have any cash left to spend on them. Also under splurge, retirement funds. When it comes to 401k plans, IRAs, and other retirement accounts, you don't just get out of what you put in it. Thanks to decades of compound interest, you get a whole lot more. Make sure that your other saving goals, buying a house, paying for college, having an emergency fund, are part of your plan as well, because dipping into retirement funds early comes at a cost. Under the skip category, meme stocks. After the large rise of stock interest in stocks like AMC and GameStop in 2021, everyone's looking to get rich quick off of picking the right investment. And while that's understandable, you'll want to avoid plowing your life savings, or any significant chunk of it, into a single asset. Better to build a diversified portfolio, which sure can include a few shares of GameStop if you're interested. Under the splurge category, the hobby you love. You should spend money on the things that you care about. And if you're a lifelong skier and you're due some new equipment, don't feel bad about investing in a cherished activity. However, under the skip category, the hobby you wish you loved, if you have the urge to buy state-of-the-art skis after your first time hitting the slopes, don't. It's better to start out with inexpensive or refurbished gear when picking up a new pursuit. In the AARP Bulletin, June of 2022, there's an article entitled "Cut the Cost of Online Groceries" by Lisa Lee Freeman. Don't pay more than you have to for convenience. Grocery delivery services are super convenient and easy to use. You can do your shopping in minutes and leave the heavy lifting to someone else. The catch? You may have to pay an extra 25 to 35% to skip that trip to the supermarket, potentially adding hundreds of dollars a year to your already rising food bills. The extra cost may include service charges, tips for delivery people, markups on individual items, as well as other fees, explains Phil Limpert, a consumer trend watcher who bills himself as the supermarket guru. Not all of these extra costs are disclosed in detail. So, for example, you might not know that a box of Cheerios is priced higher online than it is in the store. For many people, the benefits outweigh the extra cost and other downsides, such as losing the chance to pick out the best-looking produce. Before the pandemic, less than 2% of grocery spending came from online orders. In March, it was 14%, according to the research firm Brick Meets Click. To cut your bill, or at least keep it from getting out of hand, start by understanding the different available services. One option is to visit your local supermarket's website to see if it offers deliveries. Most big chains and other independents have online ordering, usually for a per-delivery fee. A second option is to sign up for unlimited free deliveries from a single retailer through a membership program such as Amazon Prime, $139 per year for fast free delivery of non-perishables, and where available through Amazon Fresh, same-day delivery of grocery orders, or Walmart Plus, $98 per year for same-day delivery. A third choice is to use a service that delivers from multiple stores. With these services, such as Fresh Direct, Instacart, or Shipt, you either pay a per-delivery fee or sign up for an unlimited delivery program. DoorDash and Uber Eats, both of which started out as a meal delivery service, now also offers grocery delivery. Whichever way you go, scan the fine print for fees and order minimums. For example, Shipt charges $99 annually for unlimited deliveries of at least $35, but also may charge an extra $7 for an order with alcohol. And store markups could be substantial. For example, the Ramsey Solutions website found that a 10-pound box of Quaker Oats oatmeal cost $9 for in-store shoppers at Costco, but was closer to $11 for customers who ordered it for same-day delivery. Walmart, on the other hand, charges the same prices whether you shop in person or use Walmart Plus. So which grocery delivery service do you choose? Well, that depends in part on where you'd like to shop and what's available in your area. If you want to stick with your local grocery store, start by checking its website. If you live near a Walmart, sign up for Walmart Plus. Can you get free delivery with minimum orders of $35? If you're an Amazon Prime member and you live near Amazon Fresh, you can also get free delivery with a minimum purchase. Whole Foods charges a service fee. Or you might decide to go with a third-party service that works with a wide variety of retailers, including liquor stores and drug stores. Some other ways to save when you're buying groceries online. Opt for pickup. Some stores let you order online and pick up at the store. This saves you time. Your bags will be packed and ready to go. The delivery fee and maybe a tip. Get loyalty rewards. Some supermarkets don't let you use your loyalty card with online orders. So if you have a choice, opt for stores that do, such as Albertsons and Kroger. Follow good in-store habits. Making a list before shopping can reduce impulse purchases. Check for sales and cheaper brands and adjust your list accordingly. Score introductory discounts. Fresh Direct, for example, was advertising $50 off your first order of $99 in April. Take advantage of multiple deals while you try out various services to see which works best for you. Avoid pricey substitutes. If items you order are out of stock, stores sometimes substitute costlier alternatives which raise your bill. Limford asked to be contacted to approve any replacements. A store recently subbed an expensive pork roast for a lower cost cut a friend of mine ordered without her okay. If something like this happens to you, complain and ask for a credit on your next order. From AARP Bulletin, June 2022, Why to Keep Working After Retirement by Kimberly Langford. Here are 8 good reasons, only one having to do with money. Working in retirement might sound like a contradiction in terms, but that's not necessarily the case. Just because you have moved on from your primary career doesn't mean a part of your week can't or shouldn't go to some money-making endeavor. Part-time, freelance, or consulting work, or volunteering can add to your retirement satisfaction and round out your schedule. And then there are the financial benefits. Here are 8 specific reasons to consider re-entering the job market. Number 1, a cushion for your savings. Working longer is going to be a really powerful lever to increase your money available in retirement because you're not drawing down your savings, and it gives you more of an opportunity to save, says Anki Chin of the Boston College Center for Retirement Research. Don't assume you have to pound the pavement searching for a high-paying job because earning just a portion of your previous salary can make a difference financially. A 2020 paper from the center found that people 62 and older, even jobs that don't offer health and retirement benefits, can substantially improve retirement security. Number two, exercise your brain. The University of Michigan's Health and Retirement Study, HRS, which has been tracking participants over age 50 for decades, pretty strongly shows that continuing to work has benefits for cognition, says Amanda Sonigay, associate research scientist at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research. This isn't just because people with better cognitive health are better able to work, she says. You can get a particular kind of benefit by switching to a different type of job or role, learning new things. Psychologists call it novelty processing, which may help slow cognitive decline. Number three, overall health. The transition to partial employment or volunteer work unrelated to your prior career also appears to be associated with fewer physical declines and better mental health. A University of Maryland study of more than 12,000 retirees involved in the HRS research found that having a post-career job was associated with fewer major diseases and functional limitations. Number four, a sense of community. The Harvard Study of Adult Development has been tracking generations of families since 1938, and one of its major findings has been how much retirement well-being depends on having good quality relationships, says Robert Waldinger, professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and the current director of the study. Participants who were happiest in retirement replaced their old work relationships with new relationships. Doing any regular work, whether full-time, part-time, or as a volunteer, creates an environment for new interactions that can develop into new relationships. Number five, a sense of purpose. A job is one motivator to get up in the morning, and one of the major findings of the HRS research was the importance of finding a new sense of purpose after retirement. That theme of meaning and purpose keeps popping up as a major driver of a healthy retirement, says Nathan LeBrazer, professor of physical medicine rehabilitation at the Mayo Clinic. And continuing to work in some capacity is a great way to achieve that. Research shows that people with a sense of purpose feel younger in retirement. Number six, a chance to give back. One of the great blessings of retirement, says Tim Maurer, a financial planner in Charleston, South Carolina, is that it gives you the opportunity to help others as well as yourself. A great example of this could be someone who was a fashion designer who now could teach at a local vocational technical high school or college. Or a mechanical engineer working part-time at a home improvement store is one of the friendly people who can help me find what I'm looking for. One piece of evidence for the benefits of giving back. A 2021 study of retirees in England found that volunteer work in retirement was associated with less depression and higher satisfaction and quality of life. Improvements in volunteers' well-being disappeared once they stopped volunteering. Number seven, good times. Whether you're spending time with people you like or working in an environment that coincides with your hobbies, like a plant nursery or a golf course, a job can be fun. When evaluating opportunities, ask, does this provide me with a community of people that I enjoy? Says Nancy Collamer, a retirement coach and author of Second Act Careers. Are there opportunities for growth, challenge, or learning? This can be an opportunity to find a job or freelance work that you always thought would be interesting, but you never tried it because it paid less or had fewer employee benefits than your previous job. And number eight, serving the greater good. There were 11.5 million job openings in the United States at the end of March, the highest level since the government started measuring this in 2000. While the job market varies widely by region, stories of severe worker shortages are widespread. Why not help a local business that is struggling with too few workers get through this period? Given the market, you should have ample choices to find a role you would enjoy. From Kiplinger Magazine, cut the cost of back-to-school shopping. Sales tax holidays can apply to everything from laptops to shoes. Inflation has turned many Americans into extreme coupon clippers as families look for ways to cope with rising prices on just about everything they buy. But if you're in the market for back-to-school items or just need a new laptop, upcoming state sales tax holidays could provide an even more effective way to cut cost. 16 states will hold back-to-school sales tax holidays this summer, primarily during the first 2 weekends of August. The amount you save will depend on where you live, your state's sales tax rate, and what you buy. In some instances, the savings can be significant. For example, Tennessee will exclude laptops and tablets priced at $1,500 or less from state and local sales tax during the last weekend in July. The state's average combined state and local sales tax rate is 9.5%, the second highest rate in the U.S. for a potential savings of up to $142. Several states offer tax breaks for clothing, shoes, and other back-to-school purchases, but the exemption is typically limited to items that cost $100 or less. But a few states have much broader exemptions. In South Carolina, for example, any purchase of clothing, footwear, computers, and select bed and bath items is exempt from the state's 6% sales tax during the weekend of August 5th to 7th, with no price limits. While back-to-school weekends are the most popular sales tax holidays, they're not the only time shoppers can get a tax break. Several states and parts of the country that are affected by hurricanes offer sales tax holidays on generators and other disaster preparedness items, and the rising gas prices has prompted several states to temporarily waive taxes on gas. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.